Invite you to open your Bibles to the book of 1 Kings chapter 11. 1 Kings chapter 11 and beginning with verse 1, where our study will begin this morning. I want to take a moment, first of all, to acknowledge the presence of Brother Bill Parton and offer our condolences to you and also to the family, to Nolan and Katie, for your recent loss. Our hearts are certainly with you. Also, I'd like to take a moment to welcome Dean and Miriam and Kenneth Seaborn, who placed membership with us last Sunday, and it's good to have you as a part of our family, and we look forward to our relationship together. I'd like to acknowledge our guest. We're glad to have you today and hope that you have benefited as we have tried to focus our minds and hearts upon our God, and the one that we have come to worship and to honor. His son, who freely gave his life upon the cross. The church here started in 1988 in the home of Tommy and Jackie Meadows. We remain committed to acknowledging the Bible as the Word of God, recognizing that the New Testament provides a pattern for us to follow. And our goal is to honor and glorify Him in every way. And we recognize that the only way we can do that is truly to do the things that He has authorized in His book. And our goal today has been to imitate as much as possible the worship, the kind of worship that they had in that first century church that we find in the New Testament. If you have any questions about anything that we say or do, we certainly would welcome those questions. We have four men that serve as elders of this church: myself, Brother Brian Beck, who led singing this morning, Tommy Meadows, the young man in the blue suit, and Brother Paul Good, the gentleman that's on about the third or fourth row back. And if you have any questions, we'd certainly be welcome those questions and be glad to try to answer those questions. Most of us that know anything about the history of Israel recognize that, first of all, there was the United Kingdom under three kings, Saul, David, and Solomon. And we would say that, for the most part, this was a time of prosperity for Israel. The nation was expanding militarily. It was expanding economically. It seems to be a good time for Israel. And yet, when we look in the book of 1 Kings chapter 11, and we look at the spiritual tenor of Israel, especially during the latter days of the rule of Solomon, we would say that certainly God saw it differently. In the book of 1 Kings chapter 1, or chapter 11, and beginning with verse 1, it says, "But King Solomon loved many foreign women, as well as the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonians, and Hittites, from the nations of whom the Lord had said, 'The children of Israel, you shall not intermarry with them, nor they with you. Surely they will turn away your hearts after their gods.' Solomon clung to these in love. And he had 700 wives, princes, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. For it was so that when Solomon was old, that his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not loyal to the Lord his God, as was the heart of his father David. For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and did not fully follow the Lord as his father David." Solomon did evil. "Then Solomon built a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, on the hill that is east of Jerusalem, for Molech, the abomination of the people of Ammon. And he did likewise for all his foreign wives who burned incense and sacrificed to their gods. And so the Lord became angry with Solomon, because his heart had turned from the Lord God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice. And he commanded him concerning this thing, that he should not go after other gods, but he did not keep what the Lord had commanded. Therefore the Lord said to Solomon, 'Because you have done this and have not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I have commanded you, I will surely tear the kingdom away from you and give it to your servant. Nevertheless, I will not do it in your days. For the sake of your father David, I will tear it out of the hand of your son. However, I will not tear away the whole kingdom, but I will give one tribe to your son for the sake of my servant David and for the sake of Jerusalem, which I have chosen.' Thus, after the death of Solomon, would begin the period of the divided kingdom." The nation would divide. And there would be several different dynasties that would rule the northern kingdom of Israel, beginning with Jeroboam. Not one of those kings were good. Every one of them were evil. The southern kingdom of Judah would be ruled by the lineage of David, the dynasty and lineage of David. And some of those kings were good. However, it seems that most of the time, when the historian would talk about one of those good kings, there was always a qualifier that was added. But that was not so of one king of Judah, the king named Josiah. Turn with me now to the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 34. And in 2 Chronicles, chapter 34, and beginning with verse 1, notice what the historian tells us about King Josiah. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of his father David. He did not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. For in the 8th year of his reign, while he was still young, he began to seek the God of his father David. And in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem of the high places, the wooden images, the carved images, and the molded images. Walked in all the ways of his father David, and walked in all the ways of God. Had a passion for God, and sought to reform the nation and return the nation back to God. I want to use Josiah today as an example. It's kind of ironic. This afternoon, we're going to talk about the book of Nehemiah, and we're going to talk about building walls. But what I want to talk about today is tearing down idols. And the reality is that there are times in our lifetime when we need to go to the closet. We need to find those idols that we have hidden in the closet, and we need to smash them. That is, that we need to return our heart to the true worship of God and true service of God. I think Josiah serves as a great example of exactly what I mean. First of all, as we consider the religion and faith of Josiah, number one, consider with me the fact that Josiah uses absolutely no excuses to compromise. First of all, number one, when you know anything about Josiah, you might consider the fact that he might have used this excuse, "What about my youth?" The historian tells us in the record that we just read that he was 8 years old when he became king. And he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And in the 16th year, in the 8th year of his reign, when he was 16 years old, he began to seek the God of his father David. And in the 12th year of his reign, when he was 20 years old, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem of the high places, wooden images, the carved images, and the molded images. That is, began to seek to reform the nation. I would suggest to you that most 20-year-olds are so selfish that they would not even have thought about the spiritual nature of the nation, but not Josiah. He was different. He could have easily used his youth as an excuse to sow his wild oats, but instead, he was committed to serving the God of his father David. And even at the young age of 16, he was seeking the Lord. Some might say, "Well, what about my family? You don't understand my family background. You know, my mother was an alcoholic. My dad was harsh and cruel and, you know, a taskmaster and, you know, always mean to us. And you just don't understand my background." Well, what about the family of Josiah? First of all, in 2 Kings chapter 21, we read about the grandfather of this great Old Testament character, beginning with verse 1. Manasseh was 12 years old when he became king, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Hezbollah. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord according to the abomination of the nations whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. For he rebuilt the high places which Hezekiah's father had destroyed, and raised up the altars for Baal, and made a wooden image as Ahab, king of Israel, had done. And he worshipped all the hosts of heaven and served them. He also built altars in the house of the Lord, which the Lord had said, "In Jerusalem I will put my name." And he built altars for all the hosts of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. And he also made his son pass through the fire, practiced soothsaying, used witchcraft, consulted spiritists and mediums. He did much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. And down in verses 10 and 11 of the same chapter, the Lord spoke by His servant the prophet, saying, "Because Manasseh, king of Judah, has done these abominations, he has acted more wickedly than all the Amorites who were before him. He has also made Judah sin with his idols. Therefore, thus says the Lord God of Israel, behold, I am bringing such calamity that whoever hears of it, both his ears will tingle." This is a very wicked man. And it's interesting that Josiah is going to tear down the very idols that his grandfather has built. It would have been real easy for this man to say, "Well, you know, look at my family. I have a wicked grandfather and a wicked father." But the reality is that Josiah did not look to family. If he does any family member, he looks all the way back to David, the man after God's own heart, and he is determined to seek the God of his father, David. He has nothing in his family, that is immediate family, to direct him to God. And yet, amazingly, he is determined to serve God in spite of his family. Next excuse, what about society? Well, you just don't understand the generation in which we're living. After all, we're living in the me generation. You don't understand all the challenges and all the temptations that we find in the public schools and in the neighborhood and in society. History tells us that Jeremiah the prophet was also living during and prophesying during the days of Josiah. And in Jeremiah the 7th chapter, beginning with verse 1, Jeremiah tells us something about the character of the people of Judah. It says, "The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there His word and say, hear the word of the Lord, all you of Judah, and enter in at these gates to worship the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. Do not trust in these lying words, saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. For you thoroughly amend your ways and your doings. If you thoroughly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor, if you do not oppress the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and do not shed innocent blood in this place or walk after other gods to your hurt, then I will cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I gave to your fathers forever. Behold, you trust in lying words that cannot profit. Will you steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, burn incense to Baal, and walk after other gods whom you do not know? And then come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations? Has this house, which is called by my name, become a den of thieves in your eyes? Behold, I have seen it, says the Lord." Interesting. While they were very immoral, and then they were going to church to justify it, and saying, this is the temple of God, surely we are okay. And yet they were committing all of these abominations, including even the worship of false gods. This was the society that Josiah inherited. He has everything going against him. He can blame youth, he can blame family, he can blame society. It was not easy to serve God in Josiah's day. But Josiah chose to seek the God of his father David. He did not depend upon his parents. He did not depend upon society. The reality is that no matter how difficult the circumstances, we also can choose to serve God. The reality is that no one forces you to do anything. The reality is that you and I, we have a choice. And Josiah said, I will walk with God. If no one else does, I am going to walk with God. At the amazing age of 20, he is seeking to reform the nation of Judah from all of its idolatry. Question, where are you going? What are you doing? What choices have you made with your life? But not only that, but what we see in Josiah is he served the Lord fully. You see, most of the kings During that time, many of them had torn down some of the idols, but not all of them. In the book of 2 Kings chapter 23, and beginning with the third verse, we read of the reforms of Josiah, beginning with verse 3. Then the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to follow the Lord, to keep His commandments, His testimonies, and His statutes with all his heart, with all his soul. To perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. And the people took a stand for the covenant. And the king commanded Hilkiah the priest of the second order, and the doorkeepers to bring out of the temple of the Lord all the articles that were made for Baal, for Asherah, for all the host of heaven. And he burned them outside Jerusalem in the fields of Kidron and carried their ashes to Bethel. Then he removed the idolatrous priests whom the kings of Judah had ordained to burn incense on the high places in the cities of Judah and in the places all around Jerusalem, and those who had burned incense to Baal, to the sun, to the moon, to the constellations, and to all the host of heaven. And he brought out the wooden image from the house of the Lord to the brook Kidron outside Jerusalem, burned it at the brook Kidron, and ground it to ashes, and threw its ashes on the graves of the common people. And then he tore down the ritual booths of the perverted persons whom the women wove hangings for the wooden image. And he brought all the priests from the cities of Judah and defiled the high places where the priests had burned incense from Gibeah to Beersheba. Also he broke down the high places at the gates which were at the entrance of the gate of Joshua, the governor of the city, which were to the left of the city gate. Nevertheless, the priests of the high places did not come up to the altar of the Lord in Jerusalem, but they ate unleavened bread among their brethren. And he defiled Topheth, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom, that no man might make his son or daughter pass through the fire at Molech. And he removed the horses that the kings of Judah had dedicated to the sun at the entrance of the house of the Lord by the chamber of Nathan Melech, the officer who was in the court. And he burned the chariots of the sun with fire. Begin to get the picture. What's interesting that in that reading is a statement especially made in the 8th verse. When it says, he brought all the priests of the city of Judah and defiled the high places where the priests had burned incense. The reason why that's interesting is because I want you to turn with me now to the 12th chapter of 2 Kings. In chapter 12, we read of the rule of Jehoash. And in verses 2 and 3, it says, Jehoash did what was right in the sight of the Lord all the days in which Jehoiada the priest instructed him. But the high places were not taken away. The people still sacrificed and burned incense on the high places. And then in the 14th chapter of verses 3 and 4, we read of the reign of Amaziah. He was 25 years old when he became king. He reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jehoiada of Jerusalem. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, yet not like his father David. That's very significant. When Solomon began to follow after false gods, it was not like his father David. But what also is significant is that when Josiah looks in his family lineage, he says, well, I can't follow dad, I can't follow my grandfather, but I can be like David, and I can seek the God of my father David, the man after God's own heart. So he says he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, yet not like his father David. He did everything as his father Joash had done. However, the high places were not taken away, and the people still sacrificed and burned incense on the high places. Every one of these in Israel, we have a pattern of sort of going halfway. You know, we want to reform the nation, and yet for some reason or another, whatever the case may have been, it may have been because of popularity, they still left the high places. But not Josiah. Folks, you cannot compromise with idolatry. When you do, you have a problem. When you tear down the idols, you need to also tear down the high places. If you want a real reform of the heart, you need to go to the closet and get every one of those idols. I don't know what it is. It may be popularity. It may be pride. It may be money. It may be whatever it is that you serve that come between you and God, and you need to get rid of it. Several years ago, a young man that I had baptized, fine young man, good heart, you know, really wanting to do the right thing, but full of questions. He said, after his baptism, he said, you know, I still have friends that like to go to the bar. He said, would it be okay for me to go with them and just have a soda? You know, just a Coke. And I said, where do you think that's going? I know your heart is right. He says, but I want to convert those friends. I said, I know you want to convert those friends, but where do you think it's going? What do you think is going to happen next? You know and I know what's going to happen next. Instead of converting the friends, they're going to influence you. But that's the challenge sometimes we have with the world. We want one foot in and one foot out. We want to get on the edge and live on the edge, rather than simply going all the way and following the holiness and purity of God. Josiah would not compromise. He destroys everything, including even the high places. He served the Lord fully. In fact, Josiah's heart was on fire for the Lord. Look in the 22nd chapter of 2 Kings. And in chapter 22, you recall that during this time of reform, that he had commissioned certain ones to rebuild the temple, to refurbish the temple, and to restore it to its rightful place. And as they were rebuilding the temple, they found a copy of the book of the law. I'm not going to read all of this, but they found a copy of the book of the law. And that book was brought and read to Josiah. Let's look at beginning with verse 8. Hilkiah the high priest said to Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. And so Shaphan the scribe went to the king, bringing the king word, saying, your servants have gathered the money that was found in the house and have delivered it into the hand of those who do the work and oversee the house of the Lord. Then Shaphan the scribe, the priest, saying, Hilkiah the priest has given me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And it happened that when the king heard the words of the book of the law, that he tore his clothes. The king commanded Hilkiah the priest, Akiam the son of Shaphan, Achor the son of Milcah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Asaiah the servant of the king, saying, go inquire of the Lord from me for the people and all Judah concerning the words of this book that has been found, for great is the wrath of the Lord that is aroused against it, because our fathers have not obeyed the words of this book to do according to all that is written concerning us. Later, in the same chapter, God would make this observation about Josiah. And I think this is the key to the entire story of this remarkable king. In the 18th verse, God would say to Josiah, But as for the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord in this manner, you shall speak to him, saying, thus says the Lord God of Israel, concerning the words which you have heard, because your heart was tender, and you humbled yourself before the Lord when you heard what I spoke against this place and against its inhabitants, and a curse, and you tore your clothes and wept before me, I have also heard you, says the Lord. Surely therefore I will gather to your fathers, and you shall be gathered to your grave in peace, and your eyes shall not see all the calamity which I will bring on this place. And so they brought back the word to the king. Because your heart was tender, I will not destroy Judah during your days. That's the key. And thus, in the 23rd chapter, and in the 25th verse, The historian would say, now before him there was no king like him, who turned to the Lord with all his heart, with all his soul, with all his might, according to all the law of Moses. Nor after him did any arise like him, who turned to God with all his heart and soul and mind. Now the question is, can you be like that? Absolutely. God has recorded this for our benefit. And the key is that He is tender to the revelation of God. You know, this morning, Brian has led us in some wonderful songs about the cross of Jesus and the meaning of that cross. I want to read the words of the very last song we sang before the sermon. Song number 157. Alas, and did my Savior bleed? And did my Sovereign die? Would He devote that sacred head for such a one as I? Was it for crimes that I have done He groaned upon the tree? Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. But drops of grief can never repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away. 'Tis all that I can do. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you've done for me. And in a lifetime of devotion and passion and service, I can never repay the debt. You and I can have the passion of Josiah, and the key is to stay near the cross of Jesus, to remember what He has done for us. Maybe there's someone here today who understands the potential of Jesus but never yielded to Him. If we can help you in any way today to make sure that your life is right with God, if we can assist you, we welcome that opportunity. We invite you to come as we stand and sing the song selected. Would you come?